May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thomas answered and saith unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. When our boys were young, they were mesmerized by Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. So when we bought our first VCR, I felt it was time to expand their tastes. I went to Blockbuster, which had just opened in Baton Rouge, to browse the cassettes that were available for rental. I came across the black and white version of Victor Hugo's Hunchback of Notre Dame, released in 1939, starring Charles Laughton and Maureen O'Hara. I thought it would be perfect. A thriller. A romance. But since it came out in 1939, it was probably not going to be too racy. And it was appropriately literary. Victor Hugo. It was time my boys were exposed to the classics. What a mistake. Most of it was far above their age, but they were absolutely captivated by the hunchbacked Quasimodo leaping through the high rafters of the Cathedral of Notre Dame and swinging on the bell rope to save Esmeralda from the gallows. For weeks after, they would hunch over, their arms almost touching the ground like little gorillas, and they would jump on their beds or on the sofa, and they would shout, Quasimodo! In our Anglican world, the first Sunday after Easter is commonly called Low Sunday. But in the Catholic world, for centuries, it was called by another name. And the other name was Quasimodo Sunday. And that was how the Hunchback of Notre Dame got his name. The traditional Latin Mass begins with a sung introit, which is specific to the day. The introit for the first Sunday after Easter is a verse from 1 Peter. Like as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In Latin, the first words are quasi modo geniti infantes. Thus, it is quasi modo Sunday. In Hugo's novel, Archdeacon Frollo of Notre Dame found a hideously deformed male infant abandoned at his cathedral door after the service on the first Sunday after Easter, when that introit had been sung. He adopted him, and he baptized him, giving him the name Quasimodo. Not just because he had found him on Quasimodo Sunday, but because he was so deformed as to be no more than like a human. Why was the first verse chosen for the first Sunday after Easter? In the early church, the great vigil of Easter was held on the Saturday night before Easter Sunday. It was the primary occasion for baptisms, because baptism is the sacrament of new life. It made sense to celebrate it on the night in which Jesus rose to new life. Baptisms were performed by full immersion into running water. And before they entered the water, the candidates took off their clothes. They were baptized naked. After they came out of the water, they were given a full-length white robe to wear, just like my alb. And then they wore that white robe until every day until the next Sunday. That would be the first Sunday after Easter. And on that day, there was another formal ceremony, which was the continuation of the baptism, in which they took off the white robe and put back on their normal day-to-day clothes. The wearing of the white robe was important for the candidates because it reminded them of the new birth that God had granted them at baptism. But it was also symbolically important for those who were already baptized. For the candidate, it said, your sins have been forgiven, you have been washed clean, and you've been given a new life. But you are new to this, so you must be sure to guard your new life, nurture it, grow into full Christian maturity. For those who were already baptized, it said, do you remember when you wore that white robe? Do you remember how ardent you were about your faith back then? Has the flame of faith perhaps become smothered and buried under all the concerns of life? Has the time come for you to recommit? St. Peter had certainly attended many services on the first Sunday after Easter, where there were those two groups present, those new to the faith and those who had been part of it for years. He understood the fragile nature of new faith and the danger that familiarity can lead to coldness of heart. With the insight of a pastor, he saw that both groups could benefit from the same thing. And he used the imagery of a hungry newborn child to describe what that was. Just as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The newest Christian, and the one who had been faithful for many years, both need a passionate desire and commitment to learn more about the faith, to grow in understanding of God and of his love. Both need to be open to the call to follow and eager to obey the challenge to be molded into the image of Christ. Both groups must have an appetite for more because one can never suppose that God has finished his work. Peter's words were a rallying cry to the faithful. You've heard, you've believed. Don't leave it there. Living as a Christian is the work of a lifetime. It is to commit daily to take up your cross and follow where Christ leads. When you think about it, a rallying cry is what is needed on the first Sunday after Easter. We shouldn't come here expecting that it will be a low Sunday. That implies that the excitement and the vitality of Easter is being shelved. We're back to blah. Can't let that happen. Easter is all about the light of Christ having shone in the midst of the darkness of life. And we cannot let that light dim. We need to be hungry for it to shine. The gospel today was John's account of the first Sunday after Easter. He tells how Jesus appeared for a second time to his disciples in the place that we know as the upper room. What an assortment of people were there. There were people who had deserted Jesus. There was Peter who had denied Jesus. There were some who had watched him die at a distance. There was at least one, John, who'd watched him die up close. There were those who had seen the empty tomb. There was Thomas's skepticism. Fears abounded, so they had locked the doors. They were really no different from us in the range of emotions, moods, and reactions that they displayed. But like us, they were gathered in one place. And what happened on that first Sunday after Easter, the very first Sunday after Easter, is that Jesus rallied his disciples. He rallied them by telling them that they were all blessed, truly blessed, because they had seen him resurrected. But John goes further. He recounts that having told the disciples that they were truly blessed, Jesus said that those who had not seen him resurrected, but who would believe, were even more blessed. And that is Jesus' rallying cry to us on this first Sunday after Easter. We are blessed because of our faith in the resurrection. Now we must lead lives worthy of those who have been so blessed. It's not a low Sunday. It's a Sunday of encouragement. Amen.